Maybe plan B is the best you can hope for. Letting Go of the Dream That Needs to Die by Heather Platt. Last night, after sunset, I lay in my hammock in the growing darkness of my backyard, feeling low. I couldn't shake the growing melancholy that's been with me this week, but I couldn't quite name it either. Why, in the middle of all of the excitement of finally launching the Center for Holding Space, after many months of hard work, was I feeling so much sadness? Perhaps it was launch hangover. Perhaps it was weariness from holding space for some of my daughter's crises this week, combined with disappointment in myself when I missed a baseball game and let down my nephew, combined with some vicarious sadness for a daughter's friend who's been here a lot this week because of family conflict. Perhaps it was worry over my daughter's health or concerns over my other daughter's disappointing job prospects. I gave up on the hammock last night and came inside to let Netflix put a pause on the overthinking. And then, sometime in the middle of a mediocre TV show, it hit me. Today is my anniversary. 27 years ago, I was a hopeful bride entering a new chapter in my life. 27 years ago, I was oblivious to the hardships that would bring that chapter to an end. And tomorrow is another kind of anniversary. 17 years ago, the day after we celebrated our 10th anniversary, my dad was killed in a farm accident. Suddenly, I knew what my body was holding. It was grief over the many losses that this week represents. It was the loss of dreams, the loss of security, the loss of hope, the loss of belonging, and the loss of lineage. It was also the loss of home. My mom left the farm shortly after, and the loss of a grandfather for my kids. It was the loss of Plan A. Earlier this week, my daughter and I watched the movie Interstellar. It's a too-long sci-fi about a hero who must pass through a wormhole into another galaxy to find another inhabitable planet on which to relocate humanity because the Earth is dying. Frankly, I'm weary of the hero's journey trope in movies in which someone, usually a white male, has to make the ultimate sacrifice and abandon his family in order to save the world. But there was at least one thing in the movie's plotline that I found intriguing. Finding another planet and relocating humanity is Plan A. It's what motivates the hero, the only man left who knows how to fly into space, to take the journey because he wants to save his children and create a future for them. Plan B, the fallback plan if the hero and his crew can't return to this galaxy and to Earth, is to stay in the new galaxy, let the old Earth and all her inhabitants die, and colonize another planet with the frozen embryos they're carrying with them. At some point in the movie, spoiler alert, after the hero and his crew have made multiple sacrifices and are somewhere in the other galaxy, we find out that the scientist who was the mastermind behind the journey knew that Plan A would never work. But he also knew that if the hero didn't believe that Plan A was possible, that his sacrifice was worth it in order to save his kids, he would never be motivated to make the journey. Plan A was what got him to the place where Plan B could be implemented. Sometimes Plan B is the only thing that can happen, but we only get there because we commit ourselves to a belief in Plan A. This morning I rode my bike to the park and sat on a bench with my journal. The tears started to flow as I realized that my body was still holding some of the grief over the loss of Plan A. Plan A was what that blushing bride was carrying down the aisle 27 years ago today. It was the dream of a traditional family unit, a home with a mom and a dad with good jobs and a couple of kids, with a white picket fence and the annual vacations to interesting places. It was stability and ease, and it was raising kids who'd still have grandparents into their adulthood. It was the kind of big love and romance the fairy tales had held out in front of her. Plan A didn't involve divorce and single parenting and a dad killed under a tractor or a mom dying too young of cancer. It didn't include suicide attempts or psych wards or dead babies. There was no thought of trauma or grief or tear-soaked pillows in the middle of the night. None of that was there in her thoughts when she walked down the aisle. They couldn't be, or she would never have taken those steps into the unknown galaxy. But maybe Plan A was never anything more than an illusion, the kind of mirage that keeps a person moving forward in a desert, even when there is no water to be found. Maybe the belief in Plan A is what motivates us in the early days when the world seems more black and white and full of clarity and promise and binary belief systems, so that we have the chance to grow and deepen enough to live into an acceptance of Plan B. Maybe Plan A was never the point. It's just the path to get us there. For me, an acceptance of Plan B, the realization that my life wasn't going to be a fulfillment of the hope that the blushing bride carried down the aisle along with her bouquet of white roses, is what brought me to the Center for Holding Space. It's what allowed me to make meaning of my mom's death and write the blog post that catapulted this work into the world. It's what was awakened in me when my stillborn son Matthew made his brief sojourn into the world and introduced me to grief and pointed me in the direction of the quest I've been on since. Plan B is full of grit and grief and resilience and learning to rise like the phoenix from the ashes. Plan B is real and juicy and authentic and sometimes stormy and sometimes full of light. Plan B is learning to have difficult conversations with daughters who've been through the storm with you. Plan B is sitting in circles with other real people for deep and honest conversations. It's shedding tears and learning to laugh through pain, and it's seeing the exquisite beauty that can show up even in the midst of chaos. No, I wouldn't have chosen Plan B. But if I hadn't found my way here, I wouldn't know the pure joy that this work has brought me. I wouldn't have found my way into genuine community and the kinds of deep relationships that give life meaning. I wouldn't have discovered that life has more purpose and beauty when you let go of the illusion. Truthfully, though I let myself grieve Plan A for a moment in the park this morning because my body needed me to acknowledge it and not brush it aside, I wouldn't have it any other way. The loss of Plan A is what brought me to this beautiful life, this beautiful community, and this beautiful work. And next month, it's what will allow my book to be born into the world. From this side of the great loss, Plan B looks pretty amazing and richly textured. In retrospect, Plan A looks rather two-dimensional. I'm going to celebrate the beautiful complexity that is Plan B, and I won't be afraid of the grief over losing Plan A because that's what gives the beauty its shadow and texture.